This is a CC Radio podcast.
Welcome to the Countdown Podcast. This week we are going to review Snowpiercer. It's a TV show for you. My name is Wayne.
And my name is Paul. That's right, a TV show which, at least here in Australia, has debuted on Netflix. And as a fan of the film, I was pretty keen to check this one out.
Yes, you are a fan.
It is a post-apocalyptic dystopian thriller television drama, and it debuted on TNT in the States.
Right,
there you go. So May 17th, 2020. And it's based on the South Korean Czech film, which is, of course, directed by Bong Joon-ho.
Bong Joon-ho.
The Academy Award-winning director, writer of Parasite this year. And that, in turn, was based on a graphic novel called, here we go, Le Transpersonnage.
That was worthwhile.
By Jacques Loeb, Benjamin Legrand, Jacques, and Jean-Marc Rocher.
Excellent.
I got better the further I went.
You said Jacques instead of Jacques. Okay.
Like I said, the further I went.
Exactly. I enjoyed every minute of that.
Stars Jennifer Connelly, David Diggs, Mickey Summer, and a lot of people that you probably don't recognize.
I don't.
All too much. Although a couple of bits of people from, like someone from Breaking Bad was
in there.
Yeah,
the odd one here and there.
Someone from The Walking Dead as well. The music's by Bear McCreary, who does a lot of these sort of TV shows. 10 episode first season, but as we speak, only 2 episodes have been released for us here.
Mm-hmm.
So that is what we will be reviewing. Wayne, what is Snowpiercer about?
It is apparently set in 2021, so next year. 7 years, although, in the story, 7 years after the world has become a frozen wasteland, and it follows the remnants of humanity who inhabit this gigantic, like, perpetually moving train with, like, thousands of carriages that circle.
1,000 and...
Is it 1,000?
It was 1,000 and something. 1,010 or 1,100, I forget.
So there's very few people left, really. And basically, this train circles the globe and obviously has to keep moving because it's so cold out there that you will freeze if you just step off the damn train.
Negative 110, they say, at some point, which I'm going to assume is Fahrenheit. Give it's an American show.
So what's that? 2.2?
It's a complicated...
It's different, isn't it? It's not the same as bloody pounds like, and fucking imperial and shit.
What is it? It's 1.8 Celsius plus 32.
Really?
Like that, yeah. So I don't know how it goes going backwards, yeah.
Piece of shit. Okay. So yes, anyway, David Diggs, he stars as Andre Layton, a former homicide detective who is now a tailie, which means he's in the tail of the train, which is the riffraff, right? Having stowed away there as it was boarding. At the other end of the train is Jennifer Connelly, playing Melanie Cavill. She's the voice of the train, and she announces Mr. Wilford's directives over the PA. And that is how this train is managed. That's what the story is.
The further back you go, the harsher things get.
Absolutely.
So it's a class commentary. It's about
big time
privilege and all the rest of it. And for that reason, is interesting enough. Obviously, plays on survival. What will you do to survive and all the rest of that. So, yeah Wayne... Then, with all that in mind, what did you think of these first 2 episodes of Snowpiercer?
I thought it was good. I thought it was really good. Like, so first of all, it starts animated, right? And I'm like, oh, didn't expect that, right? And then I realized about 3 seconds, well, maybe like a minute in, I'm like, oh, they couldn't afford to shoot all of that stuff. So they animated it. And then they basically, anytime they're showing you the vast wasteland of snow and, you know, the world and stuff, that's animated. And it's not apologetically animated. It's like, this is an animated thing, right? And then it sort of filters into the closer in scenes on the train or about the train. And then it just turns into real action. I thought that was very clever.
Yeah, it's a good way to start.
Saving a lot of money and just getting it done. But the way this is filmed inside the actual carriages and all those scenes, that's what makes this better. This is actually well built inside those carriages and those sets. So I didn't even know Jennifer Connelly was in it.
Didn't you?
Nope, until I was watching it. That often happens. I'm like, oh, that's her. And, you know, what I like about this movie is that it's part dystopian drama. It's part murder mystery.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a steampunk Law and Order, a little bit.
Dung, dung,
dung, dung, you know. And then it's part celebration of the freedoms humanity takes for granted. I will say the bit that I like about it most is when they show you how, you know, horrible the conditions are in the last end of the train. And then one of the people goes through and they slowly see the better and better and better parts of the train. And you also see, like, you know, the elite who are in the top of the train. Everything's perfect for them. Like, there's a bit where they give him a soup and sandwich because he's never eaten anything but that gruel that they get, like, for, like, you know, however long. And then he's just so amazed that, you know, he's just eating this soup.
Good bit of acting, that bit.
Really good, because I was sitting really there with him going, I want some soup.
Yeah, I really felt like a bit of cheese on bread.
I did. I was thinking, oh, cheese toastie would be going around great right now. So these types of things, I love it when you see food in movies. Like, Quentin Tarantino does this really well. Every time you see food in his films, you want that food. So it's like, good, you know. So, yeah, I like it, man.
That
I like
is
it.
A tasty burger.
Yeah.
Yeah, I tend to agree.
What do you think? Yeah.
Yeah, I've enjoyed it. I think the first two episodes are filled with promise. It's not without issue in the light, of course, but it's a TV show which is taking a two-hour film and change and turning it into a 10-episode series. And so they had to do something different, right?
Yep.
And I don't know how much more closely this is based on the graphic novel which spawned the film itself, but
I didn't know that.
I wasn't prepared for some of the, shall we say, twists that they throw into the narrative for the TV show, which is really enthused me more. And I'll say that for spoilers, and there will be a spoiler section for this. We won't spoil anything about the story because I think knowing less about the show, other than, if you've seen Snowpiercer, you like the movie, go in with that. If you haven't seen the movie Snowpiercer and you want to give it a shot, then do so, because there's enough here to make it worth your while, unless you hate dystopian sci-fi stuff.
I can't remember the movie, much more about the movie other than Captain America's in it. It's not that same character, is it? The guy isn't the same name as
I don't even know if it's the same name, but he's clearly being played a different way. No, if it is,
it's that space of that character, perhaps. Yep. All right, but in
again, I won't talk about all the spoilers.
Okay, fine. Yep. All right, I'll hold off. Okay, cool. Well, on that note, I think your enjoyment of this TV show will depend on how much you like the core idea. Now, when I saw,
we have to get on board.
Ah, dear.
I wondered, bunch of these jokes.
I wondered if that would happen, and I now know. So, if you like. Okay. Look, I didn't actually like the movie that much. I know. Everyone's freaked out about this. Paul's very, very pissed about this.
Nick from the Epic Film Guys fucking hates this movie as well. I don't hate it. Both of you can go into a corner and jerk each other off about how much you fucking hate
it. Everybody's a jerk.
It got so hard.
It's not that it's a... I think what I didn't like... It was very dank. It was very horrible. In the movie, Chris
Evans
is talking about he knows what babies taste like and shit. It's really fucking harsh, right? So I didn't like that part of it, though I understand that this is a really interesting idea. And him going through the carriages and getting it better and better and better, that is very, very cool. Yeah.
So Tilda Swinton basically plays the same type of role as Jennifer Connelly in the movie.
Sort of, yes.
And it's obviously a more contained version thereof. Yep. And it's all about the rebellion.
Yeah.
You know, so the opening scenes of the film, we establish how bad things are. And then the rest of the film is the rebellion. The TV show can't afford to do that.
No.
A, because it's too expensive, and B, we wouldn't get 10 episodes out of it.
Exactly. Now that you've got 10 episodes to explore this, they can put a bit more color in. Now, the trick with that is, like, don't make it boring, right?
Yeah.
And I'll be honest with you, there's a few pitchy moments in here. I'm sitting there going,
It's not perfect.
No, absolutely, it's not perfect. Not perfect, but it's still pretty good. And what makes me interested is that the third carriage looks more fun to me than the first. Like, third class looks better than the first class. Oh, boy.
Well, let's talk about it on spoilers.
Okay, fine.
Why would the third carriage...
No. It's not what you think, you motherfucker. We'll talk about it in a second, but kiss my ass is what I'm saying.
Look, I think the dodgiest thing for me is some of the special effects. Some of these effects outside the train, I mean, are really poor.
No, okay, so this is the thing. Actually, I'm glad you brought this up, because this is what at the beginning, it is straight up animated as in old school animation.
That's fine.
That is fine. Yeah. Later on, it changes to highly CGI looking animation, and there's a moment where you're
like... You say it's animation. I don't think it's meant to be animation after that. I think it's meant to be, we're trying to sell this.
Then that
real.
Is a problem, because when they move from, like, cell animation, which is the beginning, to the CGI animation, they haven't executed it in a way which tells me that they're trying to make... You're right, I know what you mean, because if they just made it animation, it would be cool, but I think it would actually take you away from it too much.
Yeah, I think they made the right decision.
It's they made the right decision.
Unfortunately, the budget
not that good,
is limited enough.
Because it looks like graphics. Yeah. It does not look photorealistic.
No, absolutely not. It looks like a computer game.
But I wondered to myself, like, okay, are they now presenting this as a stylistic choice? Like Sky Captain and World of Tomorrow is not supposed to look...
I don't think so.
I don't think so. You think they actually were saying this is real?
I think you're giving it the benefit of the doubt.
All right, then that is a problem, because it fails quite spectacularly on that front.
Yeah. There's a couple of really bad shots of the train moving. Yeah. Really bad.
It's more of the when they pan from the train and they show, like, the sun and the fucking, the landscape and there's, like, an old city that's now, like, that doesn't really look very good. Look,
maybe I'm wrong, because I'm not the animator here. You are the artistic
one. But you don't need to be. You need to decide whether you believed it or not, and it sounds like you maybe didn't.
No.
So that's a problem.
The biggest problem with the show for me.
Agreed.
To this point. What I was pleasantly surprised by, though, is it doesn't skimp on the violence. Like, it's pretty...
Oh, it's fucking bloodthirsty.
Yeah, there's some pretty full-on stuff that happens. Again, we'll get into it on the spoiler side of it, but I was like, whoa, that's they're not backing away here. There's more gore on a TV show, and I'm not sure how TNT works in the States, and I'm sure one of our listeners will let us know. Is this a paid TV station, so therefore they can get away with more than they can on normal access television?
I think anything like Yeah, unless it's a network TV, like the WB or whatever.
Netflix here tells us in the opening credits it's a Netflix original. Well, we have well established now.
If you're paying
Netflix
for
will just fucking paste its name over everything and pretend like it's from there, even if it wasn't originally. Exactly.
Yeah, that's the whole point. That's why they get paid. I see what you mean. So, I mean, I really liked it. So far, I'll watch the third episode, which drops, I think, today for us.
Yeah, today or tomorrow, one of the two. Yep. I think Jennifer Connelly is... I've gone on record before, I'm going to say this, and I know normally you're the one that goes on about looks, but I'm sorry.
What the fuck, fuck you, yeah?
It's fucking true. And it's not even about her.
You know me.
I'll suck a dick.
I see a pair of thick, weighty breasts, and all logic flies
out
the window.
I think she's beautiful.
No, she is a beautiful woman, and I'll tell you something else. She got better looking as she grows older. Check it out. Go watch Rocketeer. Go watch fucking Rocketeer.
She's awesome in.
She's fine in Rocketeer.
Oh, come on.
But then when I see her in, I know we're different people, but I saw her in A Perfect Mind after that, right? The Russell Crowe one. And I went, whoa! She actually became beautiful or something. She was like cute or something in Rocketeer, but she became beautiful.
The moment that she got her eyebrows fixed up, because she has naturally very beefy eyebrows. After that
may be why I'm like, the thing is,
and obviously once she gets to be an adult, let's be clear here, but I just think she is a woman who's
she's lost a lot of weight.
Yeah, I mean, and someone said to me,
she's a bit skinny for me. I'll tell you that right now. She's a bit skinny for me.
We're talking about her looks too much. The point
is, I'm how long this would go.
Well, I'm astounded by how good she looks for her age.
No, she's gorgeous. There's no
and I think I said she has the moratorium on women at her age, as far as I'm concerned. That is the bang winner.
Really?
Yep, for me.
Oh, fuck off.
Number two. Her acting is excellent. Her and David Diggs are both giving very layered performances.
I would agree with that.
And doing a lot with... I say excellent. I'm not the best judge of acting in the world. I have to say, that's my... I've long acknowledged it. The thing that I'm least qualified to talk about, I feel like, when reviewing stuff is acting. Cause
I disagree. But yeah,
I don't get it as much as other people can just instantly go, oh, that's terrible. Whereas the production design, particularly script, script's my sort of real area of interest.
Can I ask you a quick question? When you saw The Dark Knight...
Yep.
After Keith Ledger makes his performance, his opening performance,
yep.
Did you have a moment where you went, fuck, he killed that?
I didn't have a moment. I had many moments through that film.
So, because to me, that's where one moment where I looked at the movie and I went, Jesus Christ, I can't believe that performance was so good. Just that scene. So, for acting, you know, I think if you did that, you're fine.
Oh, yeah. Amazingly good acting or sensationally bad acting, I can see. Sure. But I miss that sort of nuances in the middle.
I think many of us do.
But to me, like we singled out the eating scene, which is not too big a spoiler, but David Diggs, when he's eating, he just plays it really right.
Yeah, they just
But there's a couple of scenes where Melanie is reacting to bad news, and there's a lot going on whilst he's trying to keep a straight face.
Yep.
Although that was really good.
No, she's great. She's great.
So having now objectified her too much, I don't want to give her credit for what she actually is good at.
I think
as an actor.
It's all about her appearance, and that's what acting is.
Well,
your appearance.
Well, she wouldn't be the voice of the train, or indeed the vision, the focal point of Mr. Wilfred. What's his name? Mr. Wilfred?
Yeah, I think it's Mr.
Sorry, Wilfred.
Yeah.
If she wasn't easy on the eye, because there's no way they let the rich and the famous and whatever else are going to take directions from someone who is singularly unattractive.
Really?
I think so.
I find that rich people are often unattractive.
No, but they look like...
I see.
She's kind of like the marketing campaign
of
the
train.
Yes.
Right? No, that is true. Rich people hire attractive people.
Yes,
that's
so like they're all sitting around their first class fucking tables and whatever else, and they're... I just don't know if it was someone who... Unless they had a huge respect or authority.
No, she looks
they
like...
They want someone who
well,
is
Well, that's why it's
pleasant.
Interesting. And we're Yes, absolutely, man. That's
and there's another layer going on, which we'll get to on the other side of spoilers, obviously. But yeah, anything else you want to say about the show that we haven't covered non-spoilers?
No, I think we're good. Let's talk about spoilers.
All right. Spoilers. All right, from here on out, we will be spoiling everything that happens in the first two episodes of Snowpiercer. You've already got our impressions as being quite favourable, so go check it out if you haven't yet. Two big things have changed in the TV series. The first is that David Diggs' character, Leighton, is a homicide detective.
So that didn't happen with Chris Evans.
If he was a police officer, it's irrelevant other than the fact
what
he's
happened,
trained.
Just to remind you, with Chris Evans in that movie, I know he was the protagonist or whatever that made it from the shit trail to the, you know, whatever.
To the front of the
But
the
what
train.
Was why was he going through? Did he escape? What happened?
Well, they were all being treated like they are in the TV show, and they couldn't put up with it anymore. They were starving to death.
He fought his way to...
He got the furthest, obviously. He got all the way to the front of the train, and there he finds Mr. Wilford, who was played by Ed Harris. And they have their conflict, and that's how it sort of wraps up the film. In the TV show, David Diggs now, he's brought forward to investigate a murder. And the murder is of someone who's basically cut into parts and put under and hidden away. And they thought they got the murdered person who was put into a drawer.
Hypersleep, yeah.
Kind of their equivalent of hypersleep, if you will.
Yeah, jail sleep, cryo term, whatever.
Yeah, which has got a whole other level of mystery interest as well, because they're implying that it's doing some damage to them and they can't do damage to them. Why? What's the problem here? Why are they sticking people in drawers and what's happening to them?
Yes.
And then hit really grossly. Is that doctor doing things to the people in the drawers?
He seems overly fond of certain... But having said that, I initially... Only now that you said that am I thinking about it.
Okay, you didn't, because I'm immediately like, oh, what does this say about my psyche? I'm like, oh, why are they shooting it like that?
No, it's probably what they want you to think, because... Have you remember my Minority Report?
Yep.
Right, so the three precogs or whatever, the guy in that movie who takes care of them treats them like babies. He's like, oh, it's okay, you know, lie down. He's really, really nice. He's nurturing. So maybe it's that.
But
if you got a slimy vibe off it, I would trust
where,
you over me.
Where he was guiltily like pulling up his pants. It wasn't that bad.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe I missed that.
Where he was adjusting, and it wasn't just because he was hiding away, combing their hair and whatever else and doing their makeup, which itself is weird, right?
Look, to be honest with you, if that is the case, that is the most interesting thing to happen in that situation, like as a viewer. Like, it's like, oh my God, that's disgusting. That's quite engaging. It's like horrible. If he's just really nice to them.
Engaging in a horrible way.
Yeah, engaging, horrible. But like, if it's, oh, he's just nice to them. Well, that's not as engaging. It's nicer and I prefer it. But it's, yeah. I can see why they would play that note if you're writing it.
So we'll see.
But that makes it a really nasty fucking film. A show, you know?
Well, I think it is nasty. I think this is very dark, this TV show. And that's why I'm partly so much into it after two episodes. I don't know. Most of what my entertainment, I'm not looking for sweetness and light. Unless I want to watch something with my daughter.
Whereas I am. Right. And I think what's good about this is, okay, they've adequately explained to you how horrible things are in the tale, right? Now let's go with this David guy and let him walk through and let him experience the shit that, like, and so, and as that happens, as he enjoys soup and a sandwich more, as he finds that there's light in certain carriages, as he meets people who are, you know, more interesting than someone who's starving.
Well, not more interesting, they're better off.
Yeah, better off, they're off, right? But basically, you know, and then he's struggling with, do I continue or do I go back to my people?
Is he struggling? I don't think he is.
He's still part of the resistance.
Oh,
right?
I think he's got a very clear plan in mind, as per what we see when he tries to get the sort of plans to that guy who's walking back to the tail and it doesn't work out.
Yeah, so, and he wants third class.
He is infiltrating and he's getting all the information he needs for them to be able to do their rebellion's coming. It will happen in this show. Maybe it won't happen in the first season. Maybe they'll save it for later, but it is coming.
Yeah, well, that might be an interesting development as well. Maybe later on down the line, he starts to fucking sour.
Yeah.
But that would be career suicide for that character, so maybe not.
Yeah, I mean, they're very untrusting of people who have gone forward. So.
Exactly, because it's like, why wouldn't you stay there, you know?
As represented by his relationship with his ex.
Yeah.
So speaking of the ex then, there's a scene where, well, he meets her a couple of times, and then we get this scene in the third class carriage.
Yep.
Right. Now, you said this was where you'd rather live. So talk us through it.
All right, fine. So everyone, the first class carriage is understandably wonderful. It's all sort of, you know, beige tones, golden highlights, lovely light, fancy, people taking
mink
care of
coats.
You. Mink coats, obviously sheer opulence, right? Fine. All right. Now, the real people live in third class. What you got there is a farm, an aquarium, a nightclub, a cattle car, a butcher, this kind of thing, right? It's actually like a city. That's why I would stay in, don't get me wrong, I would like access to all the cars, but I'll spend a lot of my time in third class because one, I think I'm a third class man. But also, but yes, obviously, I know what you're getting at, which is that's where people fuck, all right?
Well, I was more where people seem to be doing substances, let's put it that way.
Oh, I didn't, were they?
Well, it goes into this really weird kind of room and it just seems to be...
It seems to be like a nightclub kind of room and everyone's doing shit and hanging out.
And it's somewhere they can meditate and he ends up banging his ex and whatever else. And I thought that was probably the weakest scene for me in the entire film, TV show, because...
He put a load in her and like...
Well, how quickly they resume things after she has betrayed him and left him for dead in the tale.
I saw that as a... I'm so far away from the tail now. I'm in this world and you're here, someone I used to love, and I get to fuck and I just had a shower. Like, I'd fuck too, man, if I was him. I'd be like, well, let's fuck. He ate the sandwich, now he's fucking in a clean
I'm not sure
room.
You are the barometer of who would fuck.
I knew you'd say that piece of shit. So
you set him up, I gotta knock him down, man.
All right, well, look, that aside, and I knew that's what you think it is, but honestly, The thing is, people were rich and bored in the front.
No, I get it. I get why you're saying that's a more interesting character.
So, but it's also like, I don't know. We haven't seen Second Class yet. Maybe I'd prefer that.
Yeah, it's an interesting point. We haven't. I guess ultimately we will. I'm not sure what that would be different. But
yeah, good point. You haven't seen The Inability. You've seen the best and you've seen the worst.
Yeah.
And kind of the worst.
Yeah, and Third Class. Yeah. Whatever. Well, so Third Carriage, whatever they refer to
it as. If there's 1,000 carriages, right? Yep. Then that means there must be a cluster of carriages that is Third Class. And
yes.
Cluster.
Yeah, okay, I think that's the implication.
Okay.
The other part is in there, I thought that was weak. It was weak writing because it seemed like an excuse to try and give these two a backstory in a very short amount of time. I thought that putting them in that room where they do meditation and just seeing flashbacks to what happened in their relationship, I was like, eh.
I didn't seem to mind it, but I remember thinking to myself, because she's like, she says to him, I bet you hooked up with this other chick the second I left. I'm like, bitch, you left.
Yeah.
All right. You got, maybe got you no, shut the fuck up. Yeah, what do you say?
No right. You got no right to be judging.
Yeah, but that's real typical, man. I have seen it happen in occasions.
I stand resolute, just... mother.
All right, let's get off that before we go too far down the road.
I've got like four stories I can tell you, but anyway, go on.
The other big twist is it turns out that Melanie is Mr. Wilford.
Yes.
Now, that is absolutely not the case in the movie. In the movie, Tilda Swinton dies about halfway through from memory. It is gone from the narrative, and Mr. Wilford is played by Ed Harris, as mentioned.
And this is given away in the first episode.
Yeah, the end of it. I'm like, what?
Or shall I say Mr. Wilford or whatever they say, the engineers say to her.
Oh, so is it more than just a one person know? It turns out there's at least two engineers that know. Right. Does anybody else know? Does that her little offside?
I reckon engineers all know.
To the back of the train? Like, how do they keep this secret? That was fascinating to me. I look forward to exploring that further.
Well, that's why this is a bit cool. Because if she is a character who is and owns and did everything, then purports to not be that person, all right? What's her actual agenda? Yep. Now, when she talks to
she's been doing it now for almost, 6.5 years or whatever.
Right.
It is.
So she's saying this is an ecosystem, all right? Everything depends on everything else, which means that the tail needs to be fucked up the way it is for everything else to work out, according to her. And then when there's one bit where the fucking is damaged and all the cows froze, she's like, fuck, we're in trouble
here. That was
a
great scene. Yeah. As much as we gave a hard time to the special effects outside the train, that scene inside when the window busted open through the avalanche.
Yeah, and it looked good.
That one dude and all the cows froze. That was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. And it was like, yeah, and that looked real. And I was like, oh, yeah, she didn't want to,
And then the woman who had to stick her arm out the train as punishment. That was and that froze off up. And smashed it up. Oh, damn.
Yeah, there's a lot of that shit going on here. And that's why it's like, to me, I think that the idea that she's actually, the thing I get from Jennifer Connelly is she's actually trying to take care of humanity in her way.
Well, right? so here's the
because
thing.
Because if she doesn't do that, everyone dies.
If your ecosystem includes the stowaways who were never meant to get on there, how would this have worked if it didn't?
Okay, so here's what it is. I think that part of the culling process, and here's where your class warfare, whatever thing is, right? Is that if you need the shit end of the train, it should be full of people who had to fight to get on there. Do you know what I mean? Like, it should be people who
Darwinism.
Aren't saying... Yes! It's like, it's these people were the ones who actually were left behind, so they'll be happy with that end of the train because they just got on without
There's no fighting. Way Mr. Wilford, aka Melanie,
yeah.
planned for however many hundreds of people there are in the back of that train to get on.
She knew that only a certain amount of people could get on. So I reckon she built that part of the train and said, here you go, that'll fit...
That would be interesting if somewhere along the line they said, oh, we allowed that to happen. Because we knew we needed you.
Then but it seems like it seems to me like if she knows every inch of the train and this part here, I don't know what role they play in the ecosystem, but it's probably waste management or something, right?
Well, do you want to know what happens in the movie?
No,
I'm pretty sure at the end they're eating themselves. Like they're being purified. My vague memory, because I've only seen the movie once.
That was it. Chris Evans is like, I know that babies taste best and shit like that. So they eat each other, right?
So that hasn't been established in the TV show.
Yes, good point. Because they give them that jelly shit. Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if that's coming. All right. Look, that's pretty much all my notes about Snowpiercer TV show. I'm enjoying it. I think here's the basic point for me as a sum up. I think this show has a great deal of potential. And I think it could be the best thing that we see on our TV screens this year. Or it could drive right to the side of a mountain.
It's got potential, you say.
Potential, but it could all go off the tracks.
Yeah, like any show. Oh, okay. Sorry.
Come on.
Sorry. I heard Side of the Mountain, all right? And I went, I'm letting it go. And then you fucking dropped some gaping mouth shit after saying tracks. You want me to respect that?
Fine. It'll work, yes.
Fine.
All right, so I'll score it first.
Two.
77 for me.
Fucking A.
Yeah.
Wow, I gave it a 70.
Okay. Whoa.
No,
of course, that means this week Wayne becomes.
Yeah. My balls. Wayne becomes mumbling bullshit fucking effect.
As we all know, Wayne, the harsher of the two of us.
Every time I hear that sound, I remember that you're Michael Bay at heart.
How dare you, sir? How dare you indeed. That's two warm recommends from the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews podcast. Let us know if you watched it and hated it and tell us why. We would always like to hear a contrarian opinion, unless you're Julio, in which case, shut the fuck up. I'm joking, Julio, of course.
He's not joking.
You can get back to us via email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com, on Twitter at thecountdownpc, or hit us up on our Facebook listener community. Link is in the show notes. That's it from us this week. Thank you so much for joining us for this one. We'll be back next week with something else, because the cinemas are opening soon.
Yeah, man. In like Australia. What? Yeah, in like next week.
Well, technically they can open next week.
They probably won't open.
They have nothing to show us. Yeah. It'll be new, so we'll see what happens. But stay tuned. Hopefully things continue to track right in the right direction. And please, for our American listeners, stay safe.
Stay safe.
After yourself, and we are thinking of you.
Definitely.
All right, that's it from us. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
And this has been The Soundboard.
Eat my ass!
Sure.
Eat
all
my
asses, sure. Why not? Why
arguably, not? Very, very... accurate, relevant.
Depends on where the show goes.
Yeah, that's right.
There you are.
Catch you next time.
See you.